Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Aria Helwani, back with another episode of DC and Helwani. I hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving if you celebrate it, and I hope you're ready to finish out the year strong. We got a great show today with a lot of fun things to discuss. But first, as you know, I love the NBA, and as you probably know, the NBA is coming back in less than a month, 22 days to be exact. I can't wait. And all season long, everyone is going to be talking about Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? Is he going to sign? Is he going to not sign? Blah, 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 blah. Everyone wants to know about Giannis. Well, guess what? If you want to learn more about what makes this player so special, the great Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, well, you have to check out the Giannis Draft podcast put together by the legendary Adrian Wojnarowski, who is the voice of the NBA here at ESPN. It's a three-part podcast series. Adrian hosts it. It's a tremendous listen. So to find it, just search for the Woj Pod wherever you find your podcasts. And trust me, three parts, they fly by. If you haven't listened to it yet, you'll thank me later. It's a phenomenal listen. All right, on to today's program. And as always, a reminder that listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
It's exactly how all your meals are cooked inside of your house. Oh, he's playing.
Wait, is that a shot of my wife?
Jackie? All the meals are... Ariel, stop.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this first week of December 2020.
Are we sure?
Hello again, everyone.
I mean, are we sure?
Yes, we are sure.
Are we sure?
Well, yes, we are
First week of December?
We are sure.
Even though technically it is November.
Today's the last day of November, but tomorrow, if someone's watching or listening to this, it will be the first day of December, and technically this is the first week of December, so I'm trying to cover my... It's one of those awkward times.
It's one of those things, right? It's one of those things that I constantly try to talk you off the ledge from doing. It's like, don't be Ariel, right? There's so many situations, guys, that I have to ask this dude, don't be Ariel. Don't go Ariel on me, and this is one of those things where he insisted that we had to say the first week of December, even though technically we're still in November for another day. Because look, like my kid asked me last week, man, people start putting up Christmas decorations. Yep. He was like, why? What about Thanksgiving? Like, everybody wants to rush through November to get to December when I'm here. I'm living in today. I'm living in November for one more day because it's one of my favorite months, right? Hey, election was this month.
Yep.
Thanksgiving was this month. It, you know, this is a good month. In November. For the last
I just wanted to I wanted to encompass the entire week. Let me just tell everyone, you're watching DC and Helwani, fastest growing show here at ESPN. That is DC, Daniel Cormier in DC. How about that?
Yes.
DC.
Yes, it works. I mean, works.
Talk about synergy, man. You talk about and I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. By the way, your Thanksgiving, I trust that it was a good one. Yeah, you had jerk chicken or whatever it was, jerk turkey.
It was fantastic. Or okay, it was supposed to be a jerk turkey, right? Yes. It was fantastic. And I talked to my buddy L all week about it. But then Selena pulled the plug. Her and her sister both panicked about the virus. I swear. She was worried about, we have a little nephew named Bronze who's too young to wear a mask. So he would have had to flown on the plane with no mask.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Selena's sister did not want to do that to her son too young. Selena did not want people flying into the house from Los Angeles, which is a hotbed for the virus. So at the 23rd hour, it was over. There was no jerk turkey to be had by me. But it was still a fantastic Thanksgiving. But I
still had turkey.
I had turkey. Okay. I had turkey, but I did not have the jerk turkey. And L had it back home and told me that it was fantastic. So,
well,
I'll wait for the next time.
As you said, Thanksgiving has come and gone. But, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't wish you and your family a happy National Mason Jar Day. Today is National Mason Jar Day. It's a very big deal. We all got a mason jars today.
National Mason Jar Day?
Yes.
National Mason Jar Day?
Yes, that is.
So please, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
So please be sure to
Just Google and hope that there's a holiday every Monday. Like, what would be the most far out holiday I can find for this dude? Because I know this dude hasn't heard of any mason jar days. Like, what?
We drink out of mason jars here, the Helwani household. We recycle them and drink out of them. And I want to remind everyone,
the only thing I ever saw in the mason jar was figs. Back in Louisiana, they put figs in there, and they would like make them like do something before they turn them into pies in Louisiana, like Mason National Mason Jar Day.
Well, that is a great story.
How's that a holiday?
And a great cause.
Mason Jar is a holiday. How's that a holiday?
Listen, I don't make the rules. I don't make the holidays.
Mason Jar Day, and tell me we're gonna move on to the next thing. How is that a holiday?
DC,
who celebrates that?
I just celebrate them, okay? I don't make the rules around here. Now, you talk about a great cause. I have an even better cause for you, Daniel Cormier, because you may be wondering right now why I'm wearing a T-shirt. You know, usually I'm here, nice button down.
Dressed down.
Yeah, plaid shirt usually. This time, I'm stepping things up. I am wearing, DC, a Booyah T-shirt. You can see it right over here. It says Booyah on it. And this is a very important and special T-shirt for many reasons. DC, as you may know, this is the 14th annual V Week, and of course, this is a big deal here at ESPN. The Stuart Scott Memorial Research Fund is a very big deal, and this shirt is in honor of the late great Stuart Scott, who was an icon at ESPN. Unfortunately, several years ago, he passed away after his long and inspiring fight with cancer, and this weekend, DC, as you may recall, because I think that you called the event last week, it's the UFC Fight Like Hell Fight Night.
Yeah.
This weekend, the show on December 5th, headlined by Jack Hermanson and now Marvin Vettori, which we'll get to later in the program. We have so much to talk about on today's show between UFC this past weekend, the boxing and all that stuff. But I did want to let everyone know, DC, that you can go to stuart.threadless.com to purchase this Booyah T-shirt in honor of the late, great Stuart Scott. $25 of every shirt sold will go directly to the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Fund, and it will help raise awareness by we are going to do this. I'm going to wear this. I'm going to post it on social media and all that stuff. And also, if you go to stuart.threadless.com, you could get one of these shirts. This V-Week runs, the 14th annual V-Week runs from December 1st to December 12th. And a little bit about the V Foundation. This particular Cancer Memorial Research Fund in honor of Stuart Scott was established in 2015 after his passing. It's going to be almost 6 years, DC, in January since he passed. The goal is to stop disparities in cancer diagnosis and outcomes among minority populations. And by the way, the fund has raised more than $10.5 million in grants distributed since 2015. And again, this event on Saturday is the Fight Like Hell UFC Fight Night. It's on ESPN2 and ESPN+. So go right now to stuart.threadless.com to buy this Booyah T-shirt. And that's where you can learn more about the Stuart Scott Cancer Memorial Research Fund. I'm wearing the shirt. I noticed that you are not wearing the shirt.
Wait, stop. Listen, as you said, it's very important at ESPN to honor the great Stuart Scott, right? I remember one time I was in Baltimore, I believe, and Stuart was coming out of a hotel, and it was the first time I ever laid eyes on him. And I just remember that he had changed the way sports broadcasting felt, right? It wasn't so straightforward, right? It was hip hop. It was rap. It was pop culture references. He just changed the way people covered sports. And so I remember watching his the ESPY speech, and it was just so touching. And this is a great cause. And I remember last year watching as I spoke about my father, as Paul Felder spoke about his father, and watching the amount of money that was raised on the night of the fights, it was truly inspiring. Now I go back. I am not wearing my shirt because ESPN still trusts me to be responsible. At times they shouldn't, because I got my shirt at home and I was supposed to take it. I forgot I was coming to Washington, D.C. So when I packed in a hurry, as I always am, I forgot the shirt, but Ariel, it is important to me as I am part of the ESPN family now. So I made an effort, right? I made a phone call out to Washington, D.C. to my friend Teague Moore, who's the head coach at American University. I said, Teague, do you know a T-shirt shop? He goes, no, but I have a print thing that my daughters make shirts with. And he goes, let's try to throw them together. Send me the logo. So he did. And first, this one here was the first attempt, right?
It's not a bad attempt, if you ask me.
Not bad. It's just Booyah, right? Like, we didn't get the logos on there, but you can see this. You can see the print. You can see the screen print. Then, but oh no, that was the second attempt. First attempt was pretty bad, actually. This he almost insisted I didn't wear this. This one, okay. This was not a good attempt. I mean, right? It was white. This does not look like what you're wearing at all in the least bit. So we didn't wear this one. Now, this morning I tried to wear this one. I thought this one was a pretty good one, right? Because we got the logos and everything. Yeah. I think it looks great. It's screen printed on. We decided not to, but I will be putting this on my social media because I believe the cause is so special. But look, I made an attempt.
Oh, you made a great attempt. In fact, I think you got sent two t-shirts, right? I
mean, yeah,
I think
it means enough to me to try. Right. Yeah. It means enough to me to try. And I gave it a shot. Now, I wish I'm going to wear mine proudly, and I'm going to definitely put it up on my social media because any way to help, as I've been touched by cancer so close to my family, I'm all in.
For those maybe non-American fans who didn't grow up with Stuart Scott like you and I did, Booyah was one of his catchphrases.
Yeah.
And like you said, he sort of revolutionized the way Sports Center highlights were read for me, man. Growing up, I grew up in Canada, and the first introduction that I had to ESPN was Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann. They were the big show on Sports Center, right? Mm-hmm. And I would go on vacation with my family, and I was blown away by Sports Center because they would play it all morning. There was like a loop, right? And in Canada, when I was growing up, they never talked about basketball, and I loved basketball. And then I come to America. I remember being in Boston at a hotel with my family, and I'm like, whoa, this channel talks about the NBA. I love the NBA. And initially, I was introduced to Patrick and Olbermann, but they were a little bit older. Then I'm introduced to Stuart Scott, who was the coolest guy on TV, and Rich Eisen. And what a great duo they were. Scott would word, you know, like with phrases like, cooler than the other side of the pillow. Remember those? You know, I like the way you work it. No diggity. He would use, you know, rap lines in his highlight reads. And it was mind blowing as, you know, a teenager, like, this guy is so cool. All the players respected him when he would do, like, when the NBA champion would get the award, he would be there. It was just so cool.
Yeah. And,
yeah. I got to tell you, 1999, I'm at game two of the Eastern Conference semis. Knicks and Hawks, remember 1999 lockout season, Knicks were the 8th seed going into the playoffs, beat the Miami Heat on a last second shot by the great Allen Houston in game 5 to advance, knocking off the first seeded Miami Heat, then play the Atlanta Hawks, the 4th seed in the second round. And I went to game 2 was in Atlanta, game 3 in New York City, the first playoff game I ever went to with my beloved New York Knicks. And I remember seeing Stuart Scott hosting the post game coverage from the court. And I was with my friend Mo Liebman, and I was like, oh my God, there's Stuart Scott. I couldn't care less about any player. And I waited and I stuck my hand down and he gave me a fist bump. Stuart Scott, and my friend, as you're seeing it right now, my friend took a picture of it. I have a picture of me fist bumping Stuart Scott. I was so excited that
mind blown.
An icon. When you saw him in Baltimore, did you talk to him?
Bro, I was so scared. I said Stuart Scott, and I waved. He just kind of waved, but like I was a little bit of a way. I was wrestling back then, you know, and I didn't have many interactions with celebrities, right? So I didn't know what those interactions would lead to. And remember, I told you my interactions with some NBA players back in 2004 weren't the best. So I was like, I don't know if it's gonna be. I'm gonna get dogged out, but he didn't. He waved and he went along his business. And plus, like as you move into life, like and as I in my life today, I understand that by not imposing myself was probably the best thing because it's very difficult at times to just kind of do your own thing sometimes. So I was happy that I was able, I saw him there and I saw him again afterwards, but I remember seeing Stuart Scott and I just knew he just changed it. Right. Cause it was all the way back to when the way Berman would read the NFL highlights, it was like, oh, it was starting to kind of loosen up. And then Stuart Scott, man, it just sounded like someone that would speak like I spoke. Right. He would say some of the things that I said and it just felt good to see it on TV.
It's people like Stuart Scott. And I'll never forget when I found out that he passed. It was heartbreaking. People like him that made me want to come and work for ESPN, who made me want to dream. It felt like the coolest place to work. And so what was, you know, so cool about Stuart towards the end of his life, and he died at such a young age, was the fact that he actually took a great liking to mixed martial arts.
He
started training and also like championed the cause, I'm told, within ESPN to start covering it more. I believe he trained one time with Tyron Woodley. There's footage of him training and it helped him greatly. He was, you know, trying to stay in shape and whatnot and was a big proponent of the sport and a big supporter of the sport. So I think it's really cool that this event, like last year's event in Washington, I do believe that was the, was it in Washington?
Yeah, it was in Washington.
It was
in Washington, yeah.
Is the Fight Like Hell event. Why is it called the Fight Like Hell event? Because prior to his passing at the ESPYs, Stuart Scott gave an amazingly inspiring
speech. One of the greatest speeches I've ever witnessed live.
Like, he said to fight like hell, that you got to keep fighting and you got to keep moving forward. So
you're sitting there watching that and his family comes up on stage afterwards and you're like, wow, this is tremendous, right? Because it was visible. You could see Stewart had changed, right? He was in a long battle with the disease, and you could see that he was just wasn't going to give up on himself, and it was inspiring. And it's all these, you know, Jimmy V Foundation, like you said, you know, in cooperation with the Jimmy V Foundation. Like when Jimmy V gave that speech at the ESPYs, yeah. We have seen some of the greatest, single greatest speeches of all time at the ESPYs by people that we have held on high for so long. So fantastic cause. Happy to be a part of it in the way that we can today, being that I'm not on the broadcast this weekend, but truly, truly inspired by Stuart Scott, Jimmy Valvano, and everybody else that have fought to try to help fight this nasty disease.
Yeah, I don't know a single adult who hasn't been affected by cancer in one way, shape, or form like you. And the way you spoke about it last year, my father-in-law had stage 4 cancer, colon cancer. He is now the president of his own Canadian Cancer Association Foundation, where they try to raise awareness for cancer research. So very similar to what the V Foundation does. My uncle passed away of colon cancer. So everyone's been affected. It's a great cause. Again, go to stuart.threadless.com to buy this t-shirt. Booyah, it's cool. Carolina blue. And you can support it. It's all for a great cause. So we wanted to talk about that at the top of the show. And that's this weekend's fight night. Let's talk about last weekend's fight night. All right. Let's talk about what happened. So we thought that the main event was going to be Derek Lewis against Curtis Blaydes. Unfortunately, on Friday morning, we found out that Curtis Blaydes was out of the fight. He had to withdraw after testing positive for COVID-19. And so the main event, got canceled. And so they bumped up Anthony Smith versus Devin Clark. Now, what would happen afterwards was really interesting, DC, because as we know, in this crazy time, when these co-main events are getting bumped up, recently they've been doing them as a 3-round main event, right?
Yeah.
You know, the guys aren't training for 5 rounds. Everyone understands. My understanding was Anthony Smith called the UFC and said, I wanted 5 rounds. He was preparing for a 3-round fight, as was Devin Clark. My understanding was several top executives at the UFC said, sure, 5 rounds, great for us. Main event, why not? Dana White, for whatever reason, said, let's just do it 3 rounds. Let's just keep it as it was, 3 rounds. Anthony Smith called Dana White himself and said, I want five rounds. Give me 5 rounds. And he convinced them, and they went 5 rounds. In the end, they didn't need it.
It went like a minute.
Yeah, it only went. But I thought that was a really interesting thing. And when you consider the fact that Anthony Smith has had a very tough year, lost 2 fights, got beat up really badly by Glover Teixeira and everything that happened in that fight with his corner, then lost to Alexander Rakic, plus the home invasion. It's been a really tough year for Anthony Smith. The question I ask you is Anthony Smith back, or did he just beat a guy who maybe isn't at his level?
You know, Anthony Smith is still very viable in that weight class. I really believe that. With that being said, very impressive performance. I thought he did great. Him asking for a 5-round fight, very courageous. And the fact that you can convince Dana to do anything is very, very important to you and your standing in the promotion. But he beat Devin Clark, who has shown improvement, right? Devin has gotten better. But Devin Clark is not a guy that is fighting at the top of the division, right? So Anthony, it's good for him to get a victory in that way, but he has to go out and beat another guy. Go beat the guys that he did before. Because reality is, you know, he's very valuable to the weight class. And he's so good and so tough and so skilled. But those are the fights that you're supposed to win, right? You're supposed to win that fight on Saturday. He did. Now he can go back to building himself up towards another championship fight.
You know, when this fight was announced, I reached out to Anthony. I have a good relationship with him. I have no problem saying I think he's truly one of the good guys in this sport, has a great heart. Mm-hmm. Is turning into a great broadcaster as well. He's great on the desk, but he's just a good guy, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, welcome back. You know, do you like the fight? I was just curious. And I'll be honest, and I don't want to speak for him, but this was the conversation we had. He wasn't all that psyched about the matchup. He felt like, you know,
it was a step down. Yeah. Well, that's what happened when the fight was announced. It was like, oh, I spoke to you about this a while back. I don't know exactly who we were talking about. It was Tyron Woodley. And I was like, Tyron needs a guy that kind of is a little bit back in the rankings. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that with a former champion that has defended his belt so many times? Anthony got that, right? So even though he may not have liked it, he got that. He needed that reset. So in the long run, this will be good for him. because absolutely, you get to feel good about yourself after a victory. And you heard him say it at the press conference. He's like, I almost forgot what winning felt like.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's crazy to see for a guy that's as talented as Anthony Smith. But when you're fighting killers like Jones, Teixeira, Rakic, like you can lose those fights. And he lost those fights. So it felt good to take a step back, feel good about yourself, and start to move back forward in the rankings and on a path towards trying to become a contender again. Because right now, he isn't. But I thought it was a good place for Anthony.
We love MMA and the UFC because there are very rarely at the top, right? In the major leagues of MMA, there are rarely tune-up fights, right? You don't see that. You see that a lot more in boxing. I don't mind tune-up fights, especially in a case like this. If Devin Clark wins, you got a new name. And if not, Anthony gets his mojo back. He gets his confidence back. You cannot overlook how important the feeling is of getting your hand raised. Oh. And that's what I said to Anthony. Do what you got to do. Get back on track. And then you'll get those big dogs afterwards. Yeah. And I just feel like looking at him, like it felt like an 800-pound gorilla was taken off his shoulders, right? Yeah. He got a win, a finish, a submission, a quick one, right? Now let's see. Because I got to be honest with you, DC. After the Glover fight, I was worried about Anthony. And then after that fight, when he comes back so soon and fights an up-and-comer like Alexander Rakic and looked the way he did, he looked listless. Remember what we talked about? It? He looked listless.
He didn't look as good. Yeah, he didn't look as good. He didn't look as good physically. He didn't look as good like he was as prepared up top.
Exactly. So this is just what the doctor ordered for him, right? This was perfect for Anthony Smith. I was happy to see him get his hand raised. I was happy to see him back on track. And now there's a lot of options. You know, after the fight, they were talking about Paul Craig, who had a nice win over Shogun Hua. And I think that's a good fight, but I want to offer you a different kind of fight. I want to offer you a better fight. I want to see, I think the time is now, dare I say, Anthony Smith, Luke Rockhold. Let's go.
That's another fight. Yeah, that's a good fight. I think Luke coming back and fighting Anthony Smith, I think they had some bad blood a while back.
They had bad blood. Remember when he lost to Jones, Luke was kind of saying that he was a scrub and all that stuff. And then Anthony got really mad about that. Remember he got really he felt disrespected and he went after him at the press conference. There's bad blood there. Luke is coming back, right?
I wouldn't mind seeing Luke and Anthony if Luke came back, but I would honestly prefer Luke back at 185. Mm. I'd prefer Luke to go back to 185 and fight there. That's just where he's more natural. I mean, he's, you know, and hey, guess what? Guess what? The Jan Błachowicz loss in hindsight doesn't look all that bad anymore, right?
Not at all.
It does not look all that bad anymore. Everybody talk, oh, Luke Rockhold's done. He got knocked out by Jan Błachowicz. He got knocked out by Yoel Romero. Like, who doesn't?
Right.
You know, Jan Błachowicz, that loss now does not look as bad as it did in that moment. So, I'd like to see him come back, but I'd like to see him fight at 185. So, I love the fight. I think the bad blood sells itself. And for a guy like Luke right now, who's lost a few times in a row, a couple times, two or three, he's lost two in a row or three, two, right?
Off the top of my head, he lost to
Romero
and then Jan.
Three?
No, Romero and Jan.
Romero and Jan.
Over so David
two.
Branch.
He's lost to two.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's lost two in a row. I'd like to see him in those fun fights, right? Those fun fights. Like him and Anthony Smith is a fun fight that. It starts off as a fight that just two guys that don't like each other, but the winner comes out if they look good. You're like, oh man, maybe this guy like is viable still. You know, maybe he's still a contender. So, yeah, I think it's a good one. But hey, Paul Craig, it's like okay, that's a great fight too. I mean, that's a great fight with him and Paul Craig too. It's probably more right for the division and where the division's going. But who can? I mean, you and I both love a fun fight.
Yeah, the bad blood is so much fun, and Anthony's such a nice, mild-mannered guy that
Rag the way he did to Luke, it changed him, right? Like it changed him. I know.
The other one that also makes sense is Thiago Santos, who beat Anthony at 185, and then he moved up, and Thiago's coming off a loss to, you know, kind of makes sense. They both lost to Jones. So there are options for him. Now that he won, there are options, and I'm happy about that because, like I said, he's one of the good guys in the sport.
You know, I like Anthony Smith. I really do. And it was good for Anthony to get back and win against someone, regardless of what you think of Devin Clark, who had shown a lot of improvement. You know, one thing that stood with me with Devin Clark, one time I spoke to him, he told me he had never been in a fist fight in his whole life.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, this guy, he's not like, Devin is not naturally a fighter, right? He's a guy that's an athlete that has learned and taught himself to be okay inside of an octagon, which is absurd, but he'd never been in a fist fight. So he's not just this natural fighter per se, But Anthony needs to go beat someone else now, because there are a lot of people that speak of Anthony, and he beat Rashad, he beat Shogun, and mm-hmm. he beat Gustafson, right, on the way to the title?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right? Gustafson was after the title.
So he beat Rashad, he beat Shogun, he beat somebody else that was kind of older to get a title shot. Who's the third one?
Gosh, now I'm
and then people were like, oh, he never really deserved to fight for the championship. You know, like it was odd. So for him to go and beat Gustafson, now win another 205 fight, if he can go put one of those bigger names on his resume, I think it would really help people to respect what he brings to this weight class.
Volkan Ozdemir was the other one. Ozdemir.
Right?
And title shot.
Yeah. So it's like people were like, oh, man, this wasn't the hardest path to a title shot. I mean, I fought Volkan for the belt.
Come on. Don't laugh at Volkan. All right. So there's a few like, you know, I guess things that happened in the aftermath of this or as a result of this change. So number one, so let's go through them if we can. Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis was supposed to happen. I love that fight. It was an important fight in the heavyweight division, but now of course it's not happening. Initially I was told that it was going to happen in December. It doesn't look like it's going to be December, at least for now, maybe January. Do we agree that this is still the fight to make despite the fact that it got delayed?
I do. I mean,
wait, you're even thinking about this? Like it's an obvious.
No, I do. Listen, because I'm thinking of other things, right?
What are you thinking of?
Listen to this. Right? Just listen to this.
Okay.
Jones needs a fight.
Oh, stop it.
Listen. Jones needs a heavyweight fight. No. Right?
We went through
listen,
this.
Just listen. Jones needs a heavyweight fight. I say move Blaydes, right, to Jones.
You're insane. You're insane. Listen,
just let me finish.
Okay.
Move Blaydes to Jones. Lewis Rosenstrike. Those are two real good fights. Listen, Ariel, it makes all the sense in the world because one, Jones beats Blaydes. Nobody will ever say he doesn't belong in heavyweight. Blaydes beats Jones. Blaydes beats Jones. Now he has beaten the greatest of all time in people's mind. Going up to heavyweight, he'll get his title shot right away. I think that's what you do. I know. And plus, Derek Lewis, I love Derek. And Derek said he's an All-American NCAA wrestler last week. Derek's out of his mind. But Derek's going to go get taken down by Curtis Blaydes over and over again. It's what's going to happen. But if Derek fights Jorginho Rosenstrike, they're going to be standing and banging in that small octagon. This makes the sense. This makes all the sense in the world. You can sit here and pout and go, oh, this is the fight.
You're nuts. The money fight is John Jones fighting at heavyweight for the belt, not John Jones fighting Curtis Blaydes. Are you crazy?
It doesn't matter who he fights at heavyweight. No, it does not matter who Jones fights at heavyweight. Jones at heavyweight, it's a big deal.
So you're pulling the plug right now on Blaydes Lewis, and you're
I'm putting Lewis with Rosenstrike, Jones with Blaydes. I'm getting two fights, and I'm putting Jones and Blaydes on the same card as Miocic and Ngannou. And now, if somebody pulls out, I'm putting Jones into that title fight.
John Jones is a main event fighter. John Jones's heavyweight debut has to be a main event. Are you kidding me?
Listen. Or put him 2 weeks behind, like, I mean, the pay-per-views, month and month. Jones has to be a heavy main event. You're right. Yeah. I agree. Jones is heavyweight debut needs to be main event. Put him in the pay-per-view the month before Ngannou and Ngannou.
I don't know if John Jones, Curtis Blaydes is a pay-per-view main event.
It is a pay-per-view. If John Jones is fighting in the main event, it's a pay-per-view. Belt or no belt.
Well, I agree with that.
That was kind of crazy, though, right? Yeah. You were one of the biggest people that would say, every main event doesn't have to have a title on the line.
Yeah.
They can still. I'm telling you right now that Jones versus Blaydes is a pay-per-view main event. It is.
I just think you're playing with fire because if Curtis Blaydes wins, you don't get to capitalize on John Jones.
But then guess what, though?
Cutting at heavyweight.
But then guess what, though?
What?
Then Curtis Blaydes becomes the guy that beat the guy. And now you can sell
him. Why can't we just do Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis?
I don't believe.
You don't think Derek Lewis could beat Curtis Blaydes? That's what you're saying.
No, man. I never said that. I'm saying that I feel
like. Sounds like you're saying.
I said him and Rosenstrike is a much funner fight because they're going to be throwing blows out there. And then I believe that Curtis Blaydes and Jones is a great fight at heavyweight because first Curtis Blaydes gets the big name. That's the one thing that he's missing.
Sure.
And Jones also gets that very high level contender to give himself that championship fight against Miocic.
Derek Lewis is a former title contender.
Bro, I hear you, my brother. I really do. That makes all the sense in the world. And everybody in the back, Ariel, Like, I know you don't have it on grid view where you can see everyone.
Sure.
They're I see everybody. They're all like going like this.
No, you guys are
They're nuts. All agreeing with me in the back right now. To all the people in the back, do you feel DC? They're all like, yeah, DC, we feel you. That's the four that should happen.
We'll agree to disagree on that one. But then COVID-19 rears its ugly head and affects this weekend's main event as well, because we were supposed to get – well, first we were supposed to get Jack Hermanson versus Darren Till. Then it became Jack Hermanson versus Kevin Holland, potential 2020 Fighter of the Year. Then we find out on Saturday morning, Kevin Holland is out, and in enters my good bud, Marvin Vittori. So Marvin Vittori, the Italian.
He's mad at me too.
He's mad at you now. Vittori, man? What's he
Marvin
mad about?
Marvin Vittori hates me, bro. Marvin Vittori hates me for some reason.
Guilty by association. Marvin Vittori hates everyone.
Marvin Vittori sent me a message on Twitter. Was like, get DC off the commentary. He's terrible. I'm like, Marvin Vittori, what is wrong with you?
You know how you spell Marvin Vittori? H-A-T-E-R. That's how you spell
Marvin. You know what Marvin Vittori is mad about?
What?
He was mad because he felt like when I called his fight versus Israel Adesanya, I did not give him enough credit. He told me this. Look, hats off to Marvin. He said it in my face, right? He didn't say it behind my back. We went to a fighter meeting in Jacksonville. He came right up to me. He told me. He goes, hey. I go, what's the problem? He said, DC, you're going to call my fight more down the middle this time? He goes, because last time against Israel Adesanya, I felt like you were giving him so much credit. I said, Marvin, I've said constantly that you fought him better than anybody else. Like, I don't know what else I can do. But he told me, and he didn't fight that night in Jacksonville. I don't recall. Has he fought lately?
Yeah, he fought at the Apex.
But did I call the fight? Was it one of the ones that I might have been on? I mean, who was he fighting against?
Gosh, you're putting me on the spot with these random fights here all day.
You know all this stuff, bro.
Listen, Marvin Vittori ain't top of mind for me.
Just answer the question. When did Marvin fight last? And I might have called the fight. Marvin. I don't know. Maybe.
Let me just pull it up here. He fought Carl Roberson.
I mean, I probably was there.
The Cynthia Calvillo, Jessica I fight. I don't think you called.
No, I wasn't there. I didn't call that fight, right? But like, it obviously didn't. The explanation I gave him didn't suffice. Because he's still on the internet, like taking shots at me.
Exactly. I'm not surprised about all that because he thinks the whole world is out against him. Here's the bottom line. I don't know. The bottom line is he's a great fighter. He's got a big opportunity. Props to him for taking this fight on a week's notice because he was supposed to fight Jacare at 256 in 2 weeks. Now he's getting a main event fight, and it's a great fight for Europe as well because you have two European fighters going toe-to-toe. The question is, in a weird way, would you agree, and I hope he doesn't take this the wrong way,
He will.
Better matchup for Jack. Holland or Vittori?
I don't think either one of them is a great wash? Matchup for Jack Hermanson. I think it's really? A wash. You think Jack Hermanson's losing? I think Marvin Vittori is really good. Regardless of his personality, I think Marvin Vittori is really, really good. I honestly, it's hard. You shouldn't ask me questions like this, right? Because it makes it feel like I'm disrespecting somebody. I think Jack Hermanson trying to take Kevin Holland down. I mean, Kevin has looked so good lately, man. I don't know. It's a tough match. Either match was tough. I do believe that Marvin Vittori is going to be hard for him to get that fight to the ground.
He's a strong guy.
Strong, big.
Diaz brothers, by the way. Maybe that's why he's so mad at everyone.
The who?
The Diaz brothers.
Marvin Vittori trains with the Diaz brothers?
He has, yeah.
He trains with Kings MMA. He trains with Rafael Cordero.
No, but I'm saying he has trained with the Diaz brothers.
I don't know. But I think Marvin Vittori is a very tough matchup for Marvin Vittori is a tough matchup for everybody. He's good. This is really interesting.
It's a big step up for him. And then as a result of this, we're getting Kevin Holland against Jacare. Should put a little asterisk on that because as of right now, Kevin Holland is still positive for COVID-19. We hope he gets better. We hope he tests negative. But they did the old switcheroo because they took the Jacare fight, put him in the main event, and then put Kevin Holland in the Jacare fight at 256. Would you say, okay, you can't really give a firm answer on the first question. Second question, Holland's getting, as crazy as it may sound, but Jacare just isn't Jacare of old. He's probably getting the easier matchup, right? He went from Jack to Jacare. Jack beat Jacare.
Bro, Jack beat Jacare, but here's the deal. These matchups, right, for Kevin Holland, if they're standing with Kevin, Jack Hermanson's getting pieced up, Jacare's getting tuned up. They both have to try to take him to the ground to win. So I think he's going to fight a very similar style. As long as his takedown defense holds up, I think Kevin Holland will beat Jacare. Just as I thought, he would have beaten Jack Hermanson if his takedown defense holds up, you know, but he just needs to be wrestling a lot. You know, Kevin Holland is a cool guy, and, you know, he has plans to come on train with me at AKA after his next fight. So, That's cool. He's going to come on train with me and Deron Nguyen after the fight to kind of – because he's very tough. He's a good kid, really nice guy. So, same type of fight, I think. I think it's the same type of fight. But I think Jacare is still very dangerous.
Can I just say something? I think we all kind of owe an apology to UFC 256. UFC 256, some way, somehow,
it's a great
pay-per-view card.
This is a great pay-per-view.
Main event, Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno, which I will be honest, I'm more interested in than Figueiredo-Perez. I think it will be a closer matchup. And Moreno's a great guy.
You kind of, in Alex Perez fight, you knew he was in a big spot, but he was up against it. It just felt like he was up against it.
I spoke to Moreno last week. His family comes, their family business is piñatas. That's what they make. They make piñatas. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Also, he's an avid Lego builder. All he does is like to build Legos and buy like Funk Pop dolls. I mean, the guy's fascinating. I love Brandon Moreno. I know you love this backstory stuff. You can use that on the broadcast, by the way. Lego, say you spoke to my guy, Hawani, blah, blah, blah.
Dude, okay,
Ferguson yeah. DuBronx.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous. We spoke about it last week. JDS versus Ciryl Gane, which just kind of crept up on me. This is a big fight for the undefeated Frenchman.
Big fight for Ciryl, yeah.
Yeah. Renato Moicano against Rafael Fazaev, the guy who did the Matrix thing on Fight Island. Remember that?
Yep. I remember that.
Ruby SC fighter. And then Holland versus Jacare. That's the main card. Also, Mackenzie Dern. I mean, like...
It's a great card. It turned into a great card, but that's what happens. I said this a couple weeks ago when we came off of 255. It's like... People kind of crap on these cards.
This is the 256 is better than 255.
It's though. Better.
Yeah.
But people crap on these cards and then they deliver. 255 delivered for a card that did not have the star power that jumped off the page. This one, Davison Figueiredo turn around that quick. Having the guys that are on the card, it's going to be a great card and I can't wait. I'm glad I'm calling it.
Yes. So that's next weekend, 256. This weekend is the Fight Like Hell UFC Fight Night event, and it is now headlined by Marvin Vettori versus Jack Hermanson. If Marvin wins, I hope he cracks a smile. Like, can you just love life a little more?
Marvin Vettori wins.
Marvin Vettori is from Italy.
Wins. I mean, La what's he right now? 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there? He should be in the top 5, 6 if he wins this fight.
Marvin, la vita è bella, all right? Come on. You're Italian. You're supposed to be high on life. My family's from Milano. We know about being high on life. Marvin, cheer up, bud.
Marvin's just not the happiest guy, man. But maybe that's what motivates him. Maybe that's what carries him. But he did say it to my face, which is very surprising. I've had guys say stuff online that won't say it in your face, but Marvin Vettori did. He asked me straight up about it.
Grazie mille.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So there I am earlier in the week, DC. And I have to say, one thing that kind of grinds my gears. I love boxing. You know I love boxing. I've been watching boxing long before I watched MMA. I mean, I grew up in Montreal, which is one of the all-time great fight towns. There's a guy named Davey Hilton and Stéphane Ouellette, the Otis and Otis Grant and Howard Grant, the Grant brothers. I mean, boxing in Montreal is legendary stuff. And so I love boxing. And one thing that grinds my gears is I find that the boxing community, sometimes they get a little sanctimonious. You know, they get a little bit like high on their britches and they're like, oh, you know, this is good. This is not good. Oh, we talk about belts. We talk about commission. And all week long, they're complaining about this Tyson Jones fight. All week long, they're complaining about the rules. They're complaining about this. These same people, DC, 4 months ago when this fight was announced, were saying, 250-year-old guys should not be fighting. Oh, they're going to ruin their legacy. It's not safe. What kind of commission would sanction this thing? Mm-mm. Fight week. And by the way, the rules have been out for months. They somehow stumble upon the fact that, oh, wait, two-minute rounds? 8 rounds, 12-ounce gloves, no knockouts. Like, oh, what's going on here? And they're creating this whole big stink all week long, not enjoying the event. And guess what? It turned out to be one of the most fun events of 2020. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., Staples Center, Mauro Ranallo, Israel Adesanya, Snoop Dogg on the call. That was fun. In the end, it ended in a draw. Probably my least favorite part of the night was the fact that it ended in a draw because, of course, we all know that Tyson won. But come on, you have to admit, you A, love that, and B, Mike Tyson exceeded expectations. It wasn't embarrassing. It didn't hurt his legacy. In fact, it probably helped his legacy. At 54, we saw vintage Mike throwing hooks with power and ferocity. It was fun. It's okay to have fun, boxing community. It's okay to have fun.
You know what's so crazy about boxing is, like, I love boxing. Like, I've said stories time and time again about growing up watching in Louisiana. But people start to worry. Boxing is dead. Boxing is dead. But when the world starts to pay attention, right, and pay attention when it's not just Canelo or it's not just Floyd. People are paying attention for Mike and Roy, even though it may not have been at the highest level. It's still everybody was paying attention on boxing, and now you want to become peeved, and everybody's up in an uproar when the reality is, and I said this on my Instagram the other day, which got hundreds of thousands of views. I was like, hey, if someone told me, Daniel, you can go to Tyson Ranch, you're going to watch Roy Jones and Mike Tyson spar. All you got to do is pay $50. I'm like, hey, take my $50. I'm going.
Spar with headgear, right?
I mean, headgear. Yeah, they can wear shin pads. They can wear elbow pads. We just need to make sure these guys are protected. I would have went and watched those guys spar.
Me too.
So for it to be happening, again, honestly, I was worried. I was worried, oh, man, you know, Mike's going to try to hurt him. And you know, Roy Jones might not be able to do this. And how are they going to control him? Because the last Mike we saw, he's, you know, he was a madman and quit on the stool from biting. All these other things we had saw told us that Mike Tyson would lose his mind out there this weekend. But he didn't. He fought well. And Roy Jones fought good at times. Mike Tyson was much more prepared for this fight than Roy Jones was.
Amen.
Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Mike was much more prepared than Roy, right?
Yes.
He was in shape.
Yes.
He was doing these rounds like nothing. He was doing the 2-minute rounds and going back to the corner.
He could have gone 3-minute rounds. Roy couldn't.
He could have fought 12 minutes. He could have fought 12 rounds. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson looked like at 55 years old, he could have fought 12 3-minute rounds, maybe not with the ferocity that he had back in the 90s, but still. And he looked good. His punches looked good. Combinations looked good. And at times, we saw vintage Roy Jones. One time, Roy Jones threw a jab. Boom. Popped Mike Tyson, right? Step with the left foot in front. Like, you know, Roy Jones always was a guy that could cross his feet. Mm. Something you're told not to do in boxing. Roy hit him with the jab. Boom. Left foot cross. Came back. Step pivot. Turned back to the center. And he was like, wow. I remember watching Roy Jones do this in his heyday, where he would pop you with the jab, move, circle back to the center, and you're chasing. Mike was chasing him. I remember watching Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's head movement looked great. I mean,
amazing.
Dude, that was crazy. The way he was, like, seeing the punches and slipping, mind you, he partied himself a little bit before he left the locker room. Like, he's just – it's crazy that these guys were able to do this. Bro, it was fantastic. I loved every single part of it. I didn't like the draw. I mean, Mike won, and give it to him, but he was fine with it.
They had these three old, you know, they had Christy Martin and Chad Dawson.
I was watching, dude, Vinny Pazienza scored a fight, and he was showing his card. I was like, what is Vinny Paz doing? What is Vinny Paz watching?
But DC, when Mike Tyson fought Kevin McBride in 2005 in Washington, DC, the Mike Tyson who fought on Saturday beats that Mike Tyson from 15 years ago. The
55-year-old Mike Tyson today.
54, exact, yes.
Leave that Kevin McBride from 2005. Age that he was at that moment, and put him in with the 55-year-old Mike Tyson from last weekend, that Mike Tyson would beat Kevin McBride.
It felt like a big event. It looked like pride. The ring was all white. The lighting was great. Tyson was ready. And so the question is, like, does Mike Tyson have something here with this?
No. Listen. I don't want to see Mike fighting. I want to see Mike continuing to do these exhibitions. I would tune in every time to watch him go at it like this. Not all the time, but like once, maybe a couple times a year for a year or two.
But for how long?
2 years.
Does this work? Like, we saw him, he ended on a high note.
If he does this three times, I would watch three times.
I'm actually surprised you said three.
If he does this three times, I would watch him three times. With a Roy Jones, let's see.
You want to see him fight a Holyfield?
If him and Evander start, could you imagine? That would be great to watch him and Evander kind of put on a sparring match. Like, those are the things I would like to see it. It would feel big, especially if we can watch Mike Tyson and Evander go out there, spar 8 rounds, then come together at the end. I know that the bad blood is kind of like drifted away between the two, but to see them in a combative environment and then still be okay, I would love to see that, man. I think I think there's value in that. I think there's value in a lot of these. I think two or three times I can watch him do it.
It's funny because as much as I enjoyed it, and especially watching him, and you know, we talk so much in combat sports about the depressing end, right? More often than not, it ends in a depressing way. So it was nice to see him kind of go out on his own terms. I would actually be okay if he never fought again, if this was it, if this was the lasting image that we see of Mike Tyson in the ring, because DC, people almost forget Mike Tyson. I was watching an interview with Mike Tyson and Howard Stern yesterday from 2013. Mike Tyson in that interview said he was broke, said he had no money 7 years ago. Mike Tyson is far from broke right now. And a lot of credit actually goes to his wife. I believe her name is Kiki, who really turned him around from a health standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a business standpoint. He's got this Tyson Ranch. He's got a podcast. He's got all this stuff, this League of Legends thing. Like, he is a success story now later in life, when it looked like he was going down the path of so many other boxers who are left with nothing, who are, you know, in a depressing state and all this stuff. Tyson has really turned things around. And so I'm okay if this was it. And now he launches this new league. Now, the question to me is, okay, is there a future for a league like this? Because remember, Vitor Belfort has been trying to do something like this, and other fighters, and maybe even you come out of retirement at some point. Is there an interest in a League of Legends for combat sports where the old timers fight, or is that just a little weird because we're talking about combat sports?
But I only believe that it works when it's like what Mike and Roy did, where they fought hard, but nobody was getting knocked out, right? Like, you saw him landing hard punches.
Mike was trying to knock him out.
I think Mike was hitting him hard, harder to the body than in the head. I think he was hitting him hard, but harder to the body than he was in the head, which that to me was like crazy, because like, when did you ever think that Mike Tyson would have control in sparring? Like, he seemed like I know you put something together, like, you think Mike Tyson was going easy on Roy Jones? Bro,
he wasn't
going easy, but he was not trying to kill him. He was fighting with control. It looked like when me and Cain Velasquez or somebody would spar in the gym. If Habib is sparring with Islam Makhachev, he punches him hard, but he's not trying to knock him out.
Wouldn't you say it was like a step above that? Like, he was trying to win that fight.
I feel like that's what it was.
Really?
I feel like to the body, he was hitting him really hard. And again, that's another thing. When they're hitting to the body, we hit hard. But to the head, it's like you're hitting fairly hard, but you're not going to like really knock nobody out. That's why you don't see our guys getting knocked out in the gym. Because we're never really just sitting out.
I remember there was a time when AKA was knocking everyone out over there.
We weren't getting knocked out, though. We were just getting hurt, training too hard. Right. We weren't getting like knocked out cold, and nobody was going to sleep inside the gym in the sparring room. So I felt that's what it was. So I know you got on people for saying Mike Tyson wasn't going easy. Mike Tyson was fighting with control. I think he was hitting him to the body really hard. It looked like he hurt him bad in like the 6th or 7th round. But up to the head, he was hitting him hard, but not at 100%.
But here's the thing that was driving me nuts. The same people, DC, who were saying these guys shouldn't be fighting, were then complaining that there were too many rules restricting it from being a quote-unquote real fight. It's like, which one is it, guys? Do you care about their health and safety, or do you not? Do you want to see two 50-year-olds get you know, bashed in the brains, or do you want to see them? And I thought the rules actually protected them. I think 2-minute rounds made it a better fight. And so, but this is the best part. Those same people who were complaining earlier that it was a sham that two 50-year-olds were fighting were complaining last week that, you know, it was a sham that they were allowing this to happen with 2-minute rounds and all this stuff. And the same people, DC, who have been calling Jake Paul a sham for fighting were then saying, you don't play boxing. Nate Robinson doesn't box. So the same people who were saying Jake Paul is just some guy who has no business being in the ring, then saying, beware, Nate Robinson. What?
Can I say something?
You get the hypocrisy, right?
Yeah, I do. But can I say something?
Yeah.
Jake Paul can actually fight. Jake Paul can actually fight. Jake Paul can fight. And all these dudes that are just randomly calling this dude out. Dude can fight, man. I was watching him. Cause look, let me tell you. I don't know who Jake Paul is. I don't know if Jake Paul
can walk right. He's a polarizing guy. There's a lot that he says
and
does.
Jake Paul can walk right past me. I wouldn't even bat an eye. I don't know who it is. People are chasing him, I wouldn't know. But when I watched this kid fighting, did he fight somebody before already?
Yes. He's 1-0.
He won. He won, right? So when I saw him fighting Nate Robinson, when in reality, Nate knew nothing. Nate did not know what he was doing. But when Jake was hitting him and he started throwing the jab to the body, right? He started jabbing to the body. I was like, okay. I was like, this kid knows how to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid knows how to fight, right? Because if you're just an internet guy, he's just headhunting. He's throwing quick. Floyd Mayweather threw jabs to the body like that. That's how Floyd would break down his opponent. It frustrates you, right? Jab to the body, jab to the sternum. And then when Nate Robinson, he hit him with some nasty check shots whenever Nate was rushing. That's what got Nate. He hit Nate with a nasty check hook and face planted him when Nate was charging him. But that's what you see. That's why all these guys that run around the world talking about how tough they are and they want to fight with the MMA guy or the boxing guy, don't do that. It does not work, because when you're attacking an MMA fighter or a boxing guy, they see things.
But wait a second. Is Jake a boxing guy? Because all this time I was told he wasn't a boxing guy.
I think he's a boxing guy. I was watching. He's a boxing guy, bro.
I agree.
Hey, and the kid trained. Because after the fight, after the fight, I go to his Instagram. And I'm like trying to see what the guy's been doing. The dude's been training.
He has a legit coach, BJ Flores. Yeah. He takes it seriously. So does his brother. I got so much hate for posting Jake Paul face off. How dare you? You're supposed to be
a fight, man.
The guy, say what you will about his persona. I know nothing about it. I learned about them through boxing. Mm-hmm. This is a sport, believe it or not, that a lot of people, I know we don't agree with the sentiment, but this is a sport that people were saying was dying, that it's only for old folks and stuff like that. Here you have a 23-year-old kid, who's bringing younger eyeballs to a sport, and by the way, is taking it seriously, is training, and everyone's getting so mad. I think out of jealousy. I think they don't like the fact that he walks around with the shades and the teeth and the hair and the chain and acts like he's a rapper and says a lot of stuff that to me is dumb and offensive. But hey, when you talk about boxing only in a box, as a boxer, he's taking it seriously. And then after, he gets people even more upset, because in the same breath, this has never happened and will never happen again. In the same breath, he calls out Dylan Danis and Conor McGregor. No one ever has called out Dylan Danis and Conor McGregor
at the same time.
I want to say something right now. Jake Paul
in a boxing match? Connor beats Jake Paul in a boxing match.
Easy. I mean, that's not even a question.
Connor beats Jake Paul in a boxing match, but Jake Paul beats Dylan Danis.
I was going to – you stole my line.
Jake Paul beats Dylan Danis in a boxing match.
Yes.
But Jake Paul doesn't beat Connor. Connor can box. Connor's the real deal.
Connor would whoop his ass.
I think
he beats Dylan Danis.
I think he beats Dylan. Dude. Dylan does not need to fight Jake Paul because he'll get beat up.
Dylan Danis would do that fight tomorrow. He would do that fight. It's the biggest fight that he can get.
How's he going to beat Jake Paul? The kid.
But he wants it.
And Jake Paul's big. He's kind of big.
189. He weighed
bigger than he looked way bigger than Nate.
Yeah, well, he's also a lot taller. Nate's, I think, 5'9". He's 6'1 or something. But here's the thing. You do the fight at 185. Look, if Jake Paul wants to progress as an actual boxer, at some point he's going to have to graduate. No, he's got to graduate from the YouTubers and the NBA players and all that stuff. And I love the NBA. NBA players can't fight. Like, they can't throw punches. We all know.
All the guys that are saying they want to fight him now, don't, guys. Guys,
please
calm down. Jake
Metal
Paul,
World did, Peace.
Because you don't, hey guys, Metal World Peace. And then who's the other guy? There was another guy, guys, you don't want to end up losing to Jake Paul. I mean, I know one thing. You don't want to lose to Jake Paul.
I mean,
Paul,
the memes. I feel bad for Nate.
It's bad. There was a video. I saw a meme. And it was Mike Tyson and Roy in the middle of the ring. And they had Nate just laying under the rope. They said, man, Nate's still in there. He was like, Nate Robinson was still just laying there on the ground. Like,
I won't make fun of him. And I know you won't as well, because I give him a lot of credit for stepping in there. He didn't have to do that.
But why did he think? I mean, what did he do? What did he do for the last? You can't learn to box in 3 months. It takes too much time. And you could tell that that kid, Jake Paul, has been training longer than a few months. Now, him calling out Connor, his brother calling out Floyd Mayweather, because I went down a Paul rabbit hole the other day.
Yeah, I know.
It's insane. And I was like, who is this Jake Paul? It's insane. Floyd Mayweather would destroy his brother. But
Jake Paul, Dylan Danis, you in or you out?
I'm in. Jake Paul, Dylan Danis, I'm in.
Okay, what about this one? Anderson Silva, Roy Jones.
I'm in. I'd like to see boxing? Anderson box Roy Jones. Yes. Not MMA. I think I'm just kind of reality is I was watching all this stuff going on last couple weeks with Anderson. It's sad, bro.
Everyone's turning
it down.
It's
so sad, bro. Gosh. People would have given up anything to touch Anderson Silva and have him compete. And now everyone's like, nah, I'm passing. It's sad. So to see Ryzen say, yeah, we'll take that, it made my heart kind of flutter a little bit. I felt good. I was like, okay, the guy still wants to fight. You can't tell somebody when the fire's going. You really can't. But I'll prefer him in those types of situations, him and Roy.
It's too bad it's not early October, because Roy versus Anderson in an exhibition boxing match, New Year's Eve in Japan, would actually, I don't know if there's enough time now, would actually be kind of fun, because newer fans might not know this, but Anderson was dying to fight Roy when he was the UFC middleweight champion, the pound for pound king, but the UFC never wanted to let him do it. Roy wanted to do it. So maybe we'll see that. By the way, and this is all well and good, I just want to say this. Israel Adesanya, this man has a future in commentating. He did such a phenomenal job. Now, the one thing I didn't like that they put stop rolling your eyes. Don't be jealous.
No, I'm not jealous. It's just that you've been beating his drum since freaking Saturday morning.
I was blown away. I was blown away by Izzy. I mean, what can he do?
Can I say this?
Yeah.
First off, the champ looked like $1 million. I mean, the champ looked like a million bucks. He looked like a million bucks out there.
Yes.
He did a fantastic job on the commentary.
Thank you.
He was very like.
I don't know why I'm thanking you.
Yeah, why are you thanking me? Do you represent Izzy now? But like, thank you for complimenting him. Like, shut up. But listen, he carried himself great in the moment. Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg is great, but he's funny.
I didn't like that he was in the main event. I thought he took Izzy's shine in the main. He was good for the co-main.
He's joking. He's playing. He's messing around. Izzy handled himself well under those circumstances. But if Israel Adesanya can't call a boxing match, then he can't do commentary. He's a striker. He has to be able to do well under those circumstances. I do believe that he could do it in terms of full mixed martial arts too, or kickboxing. I think he does have a future. But this was a great – it's like me going to call a wrestling match. You think I would shine in a wrestling match?
Are you trying to take credit away from
– No, I'm saying it's great. I'm saying he did great, but it's like you over here, you've been telling me for 3 days how great he did. I'm like, he has to.
He knew when to speak. By the way, he did way better than Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, God bless Sugar Ray Leonard.
No, listen. Sugar Ray's been doing it for years. There's no excuse for him to not –
He's a little overrated.
Sugar Ray not to be able to – for Sugar Ray to not command the space a little bit better – was very surprising, but I thought Izzy did great.
Moro and Izzy was a match made in heaven. I want to see
Izzy
more of them.
Izzy was in a great situation to look like the star that he is, and he freaking took full advantage of it.
I mean, yeah.
Now, I don't agree. I was on his Instagram today. I don't know about him and the after parties and hanging out.
Yeah, that was a little weird. That was a little weird.
I can't believe he did that, but don't be surprised if we, you know, see Izzy with the COVID-19.
Hopefully not.
It's like, that's insane. I hope not, but it's just, he owned it. He looked like $1 million. He spoke well. He was very clear. He was very direct. I thought he did great.
So it was fun. It was fun to get something a little different. I think everyone who was worried that they would embarrass themselves, okay, you can chill out. They did not embarrass themselves. And there's a lot more to come. What?
You want
to
be – hey, listen. You can't be embarrassed. The only embarrassing thing that happened this weekend was watching – the Denver Broncos with no quarterback. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. What Roy Jones and Mike Tyson did was not embarrassing at all. Those guys did good.
And the production was great. And the music actually didn't bother me. Like, the whole thing was fun.
They could have did it at Tyson Ranch, though. That would have made it better. They didn't need the Staples Center. I get it. They want to feel big. They didn't need that big venue, but whatever.
So we'll see if this is a new promotion. We'll see if they have a future. Hearing some rumblings, maybe coming back in March. We'll see.
I heard that they sold some good pay-per-views too. I heard it did well.
I think it does. If there wasn't any streaming, I think it would do over a million.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I want to ask you about a new promotion, DC. What can you tell us about reports out there that your boy and mine, let's be honest, these days more my boy because I've been having his back when no one else is having his back, Khabib is buying a promotion. What could you tell us about this? I hear that you're going to be the president. You're going to be the Dana White of the new Eagle Fighting Championships.
I didn't even know Khabib was buying a promotion. I had no idea.
Well, first he puts out last week he puts out, "See you soon, Dana White." Then a report comes out of Russia saying that he's buying this promotion, which I believe was Gorilla Fighting Championship, and now he's going to turn it into Eagle Fighting Championship, which I think is very cool, and that maybe they'll be working together. I don't know. I was just wondering if you can clear up the rumors that you will be put in as the head of this promotion. You'll be the Dana White of Eagle Fighting Championship.
I have no idea. I didn't even know this thing was going on. I didn't
Sounds like you don't want to talk out of turn.
I saw Habib launched a mobile service. And that was kind of the last thing I saw, was that he launched a mobile service. I haven't spoken to the champ in the cup. I haven't talked to Habib in a couple weeks now, so I probably should reach out today, see how he's doing.
Seems like you're not telling us the truth.
I seriously don't know. Like this, I don't know.
What was up with that Instagram post? See you soon.
I don't know. Maybe he's in a fight. I don't know. Like, I actually don't know. It's like
every week, back and forth.
Like, right? Like, it's again, like, I can't continue to ask him about that as, like, are you fighting? Are you not fighting? Because again, our friendship, I value more than anything on the other side. Because the reality is this. Can I say something?
Yeah.
I don't want it to sound like crazy. Like, I value the friendship. If he wants to fight, I'm all in. If he doesn't want to fight, I don't really care. Like, so his career, honestly, like, his career at this point, like, it doesn't really matter all that much, because, like, I'm going to support whatever he does. If he decides not to fight, then don't fight. If he decides to fight, then fight. I don't really care. So it's not like I really spend much time, like, thinking about whether or not he's going to fight or not. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, I'm not trying to say I don't care about Habib. I care about him as a friend.
I know.
But it's just like, I don't spend my days, like, wondering if he is or if he isn't. Like, that's for you to do.
My advice to him would be like, hey, Habib, I love you. I don't want to pry. Please, when you have something to say, go to Ariel. Okay. It's been, it's uncomfortable with me and you, like, I'm your friend. I'm not a reporter. It's just go to Ariel.
The reality is, like I said, though, like, I'm not, when I talk, we haven't even, last time we spoke, we talked about our children. Like, we didn't talk about fighting or any other stuff. Right. So it's like, I don't know what's going on with Habib. That's kind of like, when he's ready to talk about it to the world or to me, he'll tell me. And then, but until then, we'll talk about everything else in life. And that's what matters. Because reality, I don't really care. I really, the guys at Islam, I care about Islam's career because it's still active right now. And that's what he's going. Right. Habib's career, it don't matter all that much to me right now because, you know, until he tells us what he's doing.
I get it. It's the diplomatic answer. I believe he'll come out, they said, December 2nd and let the world know what he's doing. So I look forward to that. Two last quick things before we go, DC. Number one, got to give a shout out to Figgy, my guy, Figgy. He says, you don't give me bonus, I'm going back home. Not only did he get a bonus, he showed up in a sweet tracksuit with Dana White and he got a bag, a UFC bag.
Bag of money.
Cash. That's a shock collar. That's a baller right there. That's the new face of the UFC. Because of that power move, he's now been vaulted up to number 2 in my rankings. All right, so it's
your boy Waleed was in there. Dana, thank you, Dana. You love Waleed. You love him, huh?
I mean, it's maybe the best pairing in MMA history. Those two, and by the way, it's Waleed, the W.
Waleed.
But that was a power move. You have to admit.
Yeah,
it was a power move by Figgy. By the way, I don't know if you know this, former hairstylist and sushi chef.
Wait, don't tell me the same story again, bro. Yeah. You've told me this like a million that. Times. Yo, oh, he does hair. Don't tell me the same story 1,000 times. He does hair. He's sushi chef. Oh, wait, maybe that was Anik. One of you guys keep telling me that this guy was a sushi chef. I'm like, I don't care if he was a sushi chef. All I care about now is that he can fight.
With Anik? God.
You guys always tell the same story.
That hurts. Your two partners, you're confused. I mean, you can't do that. You got to keep us separate. But the last thing I wanted to quickly touch on was, you know, okay, so we're getting Connor and Dustin on January 23rd. Still up in the air if it's going to be for a belt, if it's going to be not for a belt. We're not going to know what we're going to do with the lightweight title. It sounds like they don't want to do anything right now. Can I just ask you very quickly here, this whole notion that Michael Chandler can't come back and fight in December or January because he just cut weight in October for a fight that he didn't even fight, like he didn't actually get punched in the face, yet we're having guys like Figgy come back on 2 weeks' notice, Khamzat coming back on 10 days' notice. Guys,
yo, what's up with Khamzat? Is this COVID story real?
No, all good. Everyone said all good. So
Khamzat's still good?
As of right this second, still good.
Okay, good. But what's this thing? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Michael.
What's this thing? Have you heard this thing about Chandler? He just cut weight, so he can't come back.
I just saw something today that Chandler put that said training camp starts today.
Yeah, well, hopefully. But the last 2 weeks.
Chandler's gonna fight.
Yes, but why can't he come back if he cut weight in October when other guys are cutting weight and fighting and coming back in a week or 2 weeks?
Well, I mean,
they're really protecting this guy. I mean, I feel
you gotta
like
think about it. You gotta be honest. You gotta think about this. Though. This is the prize. This is the prize jewel. You know, this is the prize jewel. He's very. He's gotta be careful with how you handle this Chandler situation. I mean, so you gotta be very strategic in how you let him take on the world. And I agree. I agree 1,000% with the Chandler stick right now. I think it is fantastic. I think he's got everybody so frustrated. I don't know how he's managed to get the organization doing it with him. It's like he's not even doing it by himself no more. It's like he has got the organization helping him to just piss everybody off. It is the most amazing play that you've ever seen a free agent have, because he could just sign up like Ben Askren did. He could just sign up, right? He could just be like, okay, I'm fighting Robbie Lawler. He just signed up. And everybody was like, oh, cool, Ben Askren's making his UFC debut. Now everybody's still waiting for Michael Chandler. They're anticipating Michael Chandler. It's phenomenal.
All they have to say is
exactly right.
All they have to say is he's going to fight on January 23rd, and that's all good. He's on the con. But what they're saying, he can't cut weight twice in 3 months.
Hey.
He's Chandler, Shawn Michaels. He's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels in 1997 right now.
If I'm Chandler, I don't want my fight announced until late December, early January. Then it seems like I'm a suit. Oh my goodness, Chandler is now taking a fight on 3 weeks' notice. I don't want till January 2nd announce that I'm fighting. Even if I know, don't announce my fight until January 2nd. Make it seem like in 21 days I'm going to step on the scale for my UFC debut. And then if you're Chandler, you step up there 155 on the dot looking ripped and just kind of do, you know, that whole thing though that Michaels used to do like this, just kind of give it all to him, Chandler. Like if I'm Chandler, I'm playing this thing up all the way to the mountaintop.
Ravishing Michael Chandler. What a gimmick. Michael what a gimmick Chandler. He has right now.
Oh, that's a great, name. Ravishing Michael Chandler. Oh, that's great.
All right. So that's the story, DC. Once again, UFC back this Saturday, December 5th. It's now Jack Hermanson.
Hey, big shout out to Ariel Helwani and Jacqueline Helwani for the new chair for Luna.
Oh, wow.
What? Talk about burying the lead. Wow. You want to talk about quality people? Hmm. You talk about the Helwani family out in Jersey. I mean, big package shows up to the house. Luna with a personalized chair for her sitting pleasure. When she's old enough to watch Sesame Street, we can just sit her in there. And I can always say, hey, this is from Uncle Ariel. He took care of you and Aunt Jacqueline. I mean, thank you, baby. Thank you, Helwani.
Well, after the comment, last week about her cooking.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Hey, what about that yarmulke?
Okay, stop it now.
The other day I FaceTimed you. You got on your yarmulke. You're like, wearing your yarmulke.
It was Saturday night.
I loved it. I swear, I loved it, Ariel.
It was a spiritual moment for me to be watching Tyson and Jones. I had to put on the yarmulke.
Yarmulke. You say yarmulke, but spell it like yarmulke.
Yeah, the L is silent.
Danny Rubenstein was very surprised that I could spell yarmulke.
Well, you may have gotten a little help.
I spelled it right.
Yeah, I
spelled it right.
I helped you.
I'm really like staying in touch with my boys. You know, like I'm
one Happy of Hanukkah, people, my brother. Know? Happy Hanukkah, my brother. There we go. Okay, again, stuart.threadless.com. That's where you can purchase this sweet shirt in honor of the late great Stuart Scott, the man himself. And hey, maybe we'll put DC's shirt. I think that shirt could actually go for like $250. Forget about 25 bucks.
I'll sell this thing.
Booyah shirt. DC Booyah.
Hey, it's like I'm one of those stands outside New York City somewhere where I'm just
outside the concert.
I'm stealing designs. ESPN's gonna sue me. I'm stealing designs and everything.
You're the guy standing outside of Madison Square Garden with like the bootleg Rock Austin shirt.
Yeah.
After WrestleMania.
Just look bad, dude. Because then I didn't put it on
after one wash, it fades away. You know, it's classic. It's so classic. Again, it's all to support the Stuart Scott Cancer Memorial Research Fund. This Saturday show, the UFC event is called UFC Fight Like Hell Fight Night. You gotta love it. And it's headlined by Jack Hermanson versus Grazie Mille, Marvin Vettori. All right, DC, good luck out there in our nation's capital. Thanks for joining us today. Another great episode of the show. We do want to remind everyone to continue to rate, download, subscribe, and review. Hello to everyone on the live chat. I mean, you talk about crazy people over there. Those are some crazy people. We love you all. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, we say peace. We're out of here.